And I'm going to ask you if you'll turn in your Bibles this evening to the book of 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter. Now, I'm going to do a little bit of a survey here before we go, but I'm going to ask y'all, how many of y'all have been saved for more than 25 years? Been walking with the Lord 25 years or more. Okay. All right. Now, in that time, God has put certain things in our heart, certain things to do, certain places to go, certain people to interact with, right? He speaks to us and we go and do his work and perform his will. We are the light and the salt here upon the earth. But in that 25 years, same group, how many of us ever did something in the way of ministry and it just didn't seem to go well? Anybody? Oh, I'm not seeing many hands out there. Appreciate you, brother. We may have done something together on that didn't go well. I don't know. But you know, I told Brother Vinoy, simple thought on my heart this evening, and I'm going to go back to the words of Paul, but the thought for this evening is that ministry can be messy. Even as we follow the Lord with the best of intentions and the best of guidance and what have you, the results that we sometimes see are not the results that we would expect or hope for. And Paul had something to say about that to Timothy. The Bible tells us he exhorts Timothy in 1 Timothy. He continues the thought in 2 Timothy. And probably with Paul, he was coming to a place where perhaps, you know, this was his last mentoring as it was to Timothy. He literally was a prisoner in Rome waiting to appear before Nero the second time. He was looking forward, and in this book of 2 Timothy, he calls for certain things, and he's optimistic, but he's also realistic in his guidance of telling Timothy things that he knows he may not get a chance to say again. And I want us to look just at a couple of scriptures as Paul begins to in the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, where Paul was speaking to Timothy. And prior to this and a little after this, he talks about situations he had had in his ministry and in his life that were very difficult. But Paul brings it to the point that Jesus will get things done for the right reason, even when we don't see the results that we expect. And looking at the 17th and the 18th verses of the fourth chapter, this is what Paul wrote. He said, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me into his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Would you pray with me? Lord, I do thank you for the privilege to stand here, Lord, in the pastor's absence. And I thank you, Lord, for the thought you've given me this week to share with this congregation. God, I pray that everything that's said and done will just lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll pour, Lord, all hearts and all efforts back to the cross of Calvary and to the Savior who's truly worthy. Lord, help us to be clear in our thought, and Lord, and confident in our words that you give to us. And Lord, just be with every heart that's here tonight. Lord, we truly are preaching to the choir. But God, you preach to us every day, and I thank you, Lord, that every day we learn as we walk with you. Lord, these things we ask in your blessed name. Amen. So ministry can be messy. And Paul, who had such a great experience in so many different areas over his decades of serving the Lord Jesus Christ, he saw people that came beside of him and welcomed him and worked with him, and he saw areas where he had great success and presented the gospel message, and many, many, many were saved, and entire communities, entire cities, you know, were changed because of his preaching. And yet Paul also pointed out that during his time, he told Timothy, there were people who opposed me. There were situations that didn't go well. There were situations where, I didn't get the results that maybe I would have expected. And I'm going to tell you that each one of us, as we go and we begin to minister in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, have that same risk, have that same potential, that we may not see the results that we would fully expect. We're going to look at just a couple of points tonight, but I want you to see that ministry in and of itself is not always something that produces satisfying or tangible results. It's not that we always walk away these men and women who go and so many times, you know, we'll go on a Saturday and we'll knock on somebody's door. And Brother Gary, they don't always answer the door in a loving mood. They don't always say, Brother Jimmy, oh, I'm so glad that you came by. I was just hoping someone would come by and share the gospel with me. In fact, sometimes it can be messy. And when you look at the definition of the word ministry, the definition of the word is to see the needs of someone else and to provide something necessary and helpful towards that end. And folks, I'm telling you that we are the ministers of God here. Now, I'm a preacher. I'm ordained. I was called by God. I've served in many different capacities. Brother Jimmy, you and I and others, we were running a stapler last week in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We do a lot of things that make a difference in the world around us, but we go forward and we try to touch the lives of the people that are around us. Ministry is usually about giving or offering in some fashion. It often occurs in the church as we see the Wednesday Night Warriors out here. But what we really do quite often for the Lord Jesus Christ that makes the greatest difference in ministry, we do outside of our walls. Amen? We go and we touch people. When we were at Salvation Army on Sunday morning, there was a man, David Rose, and he spoke about his hip replacement, and we had a chance to talk about that. I told him I would pray for him, and I have. And the difference that we make in the ministry is one-on-one very often and what have you. But sometimes it gets messy. And by when I say messy, it doesn't go exactly the way we plan. So I got four things for you tonight. Ministry can be messy. The first reason that the Lord laid on my heart that ministry sometimes doesn't go exactly the way that we want is because the person you're dealing with doesn't care. They do not want what you're bringing to them. We see this, Brother Gary, Brother Ralph, and all you men, Brother Rose, and others, when we go and knock on doors and people just want to get us off of their porch. Would you go away? I've got a hangover, I'm getting ready for this, whatever that circumstance is, it's different with each one. But Brother Wayne, they just don't want what you're interested in, or they don't want what you're bringing them. They're not interested in it, or they want something different. Paul dealt with that all through his ministry. He ran into people that their personal motivations, their personal agendas, and he names names. I love that, Timothy, 2 Timothy, all other Bible, other books in the Bible he's written, he names names that there are people who just aren't interested in the gospel message. Folks, we live in a world today around us where that is absolutely a barrier to being a minister. I was looking at kind of the next steps in my life. And the Lord laid this on my heart quite a while ago, not just in the last few months. And I was thinking, Brother Wayne, about the ministry that you do in the jail. And I was thinking about, she's not here tonight, but Miss Jerry Jane, that she will go and visit people often in the hospital. And I was thinking about, Lord, where is it that we're really most effective? And the fact is, when people are broken, when the barriers have come down, and that's really sad, but I mean, when everything else has failed, they will listen to you about the gospel message. You get a chance to minister. But a lot of times, Brother Rose, it gets messy because they don't want what you're offering them at that point in time. Paul ran into that, and he was telling Timothy that you just have to consider that it's our responsibility to present the gospel message. Amen? It's our responsibility, it's our obligation, it's our privilege to be the body of Christ represented here in this world. But you've got to recognize that people aren't always going to thank you for that. And in fact, we're in the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy. If you look back just a little further, man has put the divisions in here, the chapter marks and the paragraphs and that type thing. But it was all one letter that Paul wrote. And in the third chapter, in this same context, look at the third chapter. Paul wrote this in the day 2,000 years ago. He said, this know also, in the third chapter of the first verse, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And by the way, we can say amen right there. Despisers of those that are good. And he goes on and he looks in verse 5, we'll skip there. Paul says this to Timothy, he said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I have commented to Cindy so many times here recently about how much we see the facade, the image, the shell of Christianity. But Brother Gary, I'm not judging, but I'm telling you that there's no substance there. It's as hollow as the little chocolate Easter bunny that you get. Nothing on the inside. We have got to become more to the world around us than just an empty shell. And when we go to minister to people, Brother Vinoy and I were talking about this on Monday, that you know, yes, they're interested in what we have to say, but really, the real witness is when they see us doing the things that Christ has told us to do. Now, it's not always going to be effective that people are going to look at that and say, oh yeah, I want to be just like that guy. Their personal motivations, their agendas, their experiences, and particularly this idea of having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, become a barrier for us to be effective in the ministry that we can see the results thereof. I thought about Paul, and the Bible tells us that in the book of Acts, the 26th chapter, that Paul interacted with so many people, and he interacted with King Agrippa. And he turned to King Agrippa after testifying and giving a wonderful message. In Acts 26:27, he said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Talking about Jesus. Paul said, I know that thou believest. Then King Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. See, when people don't care, when they want something different than the ministry you're presenting to them, they put up a barrier. Almost you're able to help me. I'll tell you another reason that people don't care is really you cannot help some people because they will not let you help them. I think, Brother Gary, about the message that we bring of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who wouldn't want to know that they have life eternal settled forever? Give me a good value proposition. Give me a good statement where somebody would say, I'd rather just not know. I'd rather just take my chances in time. That is crazy talk. And when we begin to present the gospel message, you can't help people that automatically say, oh, I don't want any of it, Brother Ralph. Just take what you've got and go away. I would rather be miserable. I'd rather be lost. I'd rather be unhappy. It gets messy at those times. I think about the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, his message to the world around us, come unto me. His message, his purpose in life, I've come to seek and to save those that are lost. Telling the world that they could have new life, be born again. They could have a life that was changed, truly changed through the Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes people won't do what's in their own best interest, and they begin to reject the ministry, the gospel message that you've brought to them. I wonder how many folks have ministered through the years and brought the message and someone just was nice and they were polite and they listened attentively, what have you, but they went away unchanged. They didn't want to be different. I think about the world around us today, and as Paul told Timothy, he said, you're going to encounter a time, and we sure are there today, when people are going to look the part, they're going to maybe sound the part, but they're just going to be empty on the inside. I think about how the Lord has blessed us to have the freedom that we have in this nation. And by the way, it is being eroded from us, the ability to speak in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the ability to have certain things. I gave our Sunday school class at Christmas, we gave them just a real simple present. It was the Jesus fish symbol, you know, to go on the back of the symbol with Jesus' name in the middle of that. And as I gave to some people, Brother Rose, they were like, love the symbol. Is somebody going to damage my car? You understand that, right? That's the world we live in today. Why? Because they don't want the ministry that we're trying to provide to them, giving them something they need, which is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. As we were at the Salvation Army, and we'd probably been 15, 20 minutes into it, so it was 20 after 12, something like that, one of the Woodall family came to me, and Brother Wayne, she had in her hand one of the next meal packs, unopened. And she said, Steve, she said, there was a lady that came through, and you greeted her, and she went back. She said she just threw it away. Well, the rule is, you know, if they touch it, it's to be destroyed, so we couldn't reclaim it. But Brother Ralph, she just looked very disappointed. that this woman would just throw it away, that she would just throw this next meal pack. She was homeless. She came there for a meal. We gave her two. She threw it away. Folks, you ever stop and realize how often that happens in church? The pastor has he studies and he prays, and the Lord puts that on his heart, and he comes and he preaches, and people just say, I don't care. I don't want it. I would just rather walk away unchanged. Ministry can be messy. Why? Because people have their own agenda. They don't always accept and receive what it is that God's put in their heart. The second thing I would tell, and by the way, I've written this in the margin. Brother Don, who just did such a wonderful message, revival and the series of messages, he spoke last week about the sower, right? A lot of times, folks, we go out and we minister. We've got to be absolutely certain that what we're doing, we do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The results are up to Him. We're to go forward and do these things, right? But Brother Don preached about how there was the stony ground, right, and the seed that fell by the wayside. A lot of times we do things for folks, and that's exactly where that seed's going to fall. We do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't do it for glory. We don't do it for vainness or vanity or gain or what have you. And we leave it in Jesus' hands. But sometimes ministry can be messy because people just don't care. Second thing is, and I like this, Paul names names. He names names in 1 Timothy, names in 2 Timothy. The second reason I tell you that ministry can be messy is because of doctrine. Oh, I had to ruin it, didn't I? I had to bring up that D word, doctrine. You know, it's interesting how the world around us today has become so resistant to truth. People will creatively invent their own truth before they'll accept what is a normal standard. Paul, in the third chapter, if we read down here a little bit further, he's talking about in the last days to Timothy, and we get to the eighth verse of the third chapter. He says, now as Jannes and Jambres, and of course those were the magicians of Pharaoh, as they withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Truth is a blessing. Truth is our foundation. Truth is our true north on the compass as we try to navigate this world according to the Word of God. And I think about how Paul had called out to Timothy, even in the seventh verse, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, that the world around us today doesn't always go for truth. I thought, just as I scribbled down some quick notes here, the truth that we find in God's Word, and that the world around us to them as we begin to minister them to them, as we try to help them, they'll accept some of it and they'll reject others. Basic doctrine, basic principle here, Bible teachings. First, that mankind is inherently sinful and born under the curse of sin. We'd say amen to that, right? You ever talk to somebody and they just won't accept the fact that their mother who they love, their great-grandmother who was a saint to them passed on, that they were sinful people? You ever run into some of that? Just the denial, Miss Eve, you can't talk about my family like that. But the truth is, we're all born under a curse. Second truth, real simply, is that we cannot redeem ourselves to God's standard for righteousness. There is no good work that we'll ever do which causes us to be able to enter into heaven, right? We go out and we tell people that, Brother Gary, as we minister to them, trying to bring them truth, and it's rejected. What do you mean I can't be good enough? Well, my grandfather laid all the brick, you know, for this particular church and what have you. Surely he would have made it, you know, just based on the sacrifices he made. The third truth is that Jesus is God's only sacrifice and our only hope of salvation. Amen? Brother Ralph, I think we can talk to people sometimes, and if we're talking about God is good and God is love and what have you, they'll buy in with you on that. But Brother David, when we start getting down to the things that are deeper than that in God's Word, that Jesus is the only Savior. There is no secondary path. There is no other option. When we begin to talk about the truth that is contained in God's Word, and it sets a standard, and it sets an expectation for His children, and it is the Word with which the world will be judged, that God's Word is infallible, that it's absolute, that it's perfect, that it's complete, that it is essential to the believer's life, people start to get a little squirrely. They say, what kind of doctrine is that? You get a lot of amens when you say, God's love. And Jesus loves everybody. And we ought to be good to our neighbors, right? We ought to follow the Ten Commandments, and we ought to live the Beatitudes as best we can. But Brother Ralph, when we start getting deeper than that, ministry gets harder. I've had some really good friends, and they're not part of the Independent Baptist Church, and we don't agree on everything. I'm telling you that sometimes it's hard to minister to people because they've become so indoctrinated in their own understanding of the doctrine that they've rejected the teachings of Christ in some areas. What is truth? The Bible teaches us that God's Word tells us everything that we need to know about life here and about life to come. That everyone who rejects Jesus Christ has doomed themselves to a devil's hell that was not prepared for them. And that salvation brings a changed life. A person becomes born again. They're not the person that they were before they came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's the kind of doctrine that will cause us to be separated from people around us as we minister to them. Amen? If you've ever gotten into that kind of conversation and had the privilege to witness to somebody in that level, you understand what I'm saying. So we talk about the messiness that can come from us trying to minister to fulfill God's will, and certainly that they don't care. The aspect of doctrine, and by the way, Paul called out several to Timothy and in other parts of the Bible where he said, this man opposed me, this man deserted me, what have you. They just walked away, as it were, from the truth of the faith. The third thing I would tell you is sometimes ministry gets messy because of doubt, because we doubt what God is capable of. I think one of the greatest things that helps us so often when we have revival is it gives us the faith and the confidence to go forward again. Miss Eve and I were talking about a project that the pastor had this week and a simple thing and what have you. But Miss Eve, there's a guy in Murfreesboro that saw some prayers answered this week. I believe his faith was lifted up. I believe there's a family down in Houston, Texas this week that saw their pastor roll in to try and be a blessing and an encouragement to them. Their faith was lifted up. But if we're not careful, we will forget that the same God who with only the spoken word created everything that we see is still involved in our lives. He still wants every one of these young people out here at the Wednesday Night Warriors to know him as their Savior. He still wants to see everybody in Africa and China and Indiana come to know him as their Savior. And he is still intervening in the lives of men and women and children everywhere. But if we're not careful, ministry will get messy because we will forget to have the faith that we need. I had lunch with one of my bosses, former bosses, and he retired several years ago, and he's a very interesting gentleman. We don't see each other that often, but he's in his 60s, and because of the circumstances of life, he ended up adopting, and he has a 13-year-old daughter. So guys, think about being in your later 60s and having a 13-year-old daughter as a single parent. He has a complicated life. But we've always had a great relationship, Brother Ralph, and my friend was telling me about something that happened a couple of years ago. His daughter was 10 years old, and she has a distanced relationship with her mother, a biological mother, and they were traveling together, and there was a situation which caused the little girl to realize she wanted to talk to her mom. Brother Wayne, it had been a while since she'd spoken to her. So they got into a hotel where they were traveling, and the little girl had seen the movie that was out with the prayer closet War Room. And my friend said that when they arrived in the hotel, she asked for a pencil, a piece of paper. She sat down, smart little girl, started writing. And my friend said that before the morning, the young lady had finished a couple of letters to God. And she took them and she put them on the lampshades that were in the room. She hung them up there. And he said, "What are these?" And she said, "Well, you know, it's I haven't heard from my mom in a while. I'd love to talk to her." And he said, you know, he stayed the night and he collected the letters as they were getting ready to leave the hotel and go on. And Brother Ralph, later that day, the phone rang and it was the mom. And he said, "You talk about sending chills up and down your spine, Steve. You know, hadn't called or whatever in 18 months. Been that long." She called later that day. Jesus said how powerful we could be if we just had the faith of a little child, right? Ministry gets messy sometimes because I think we feel like we're responsible for more of it than we really are. Jesus said, go out. Do what do what I call you to do. Go do the things that you're responsible to do. If the results aren't exactly what you expect it to be, leave it to me. The God that separated the Red Sea and allowed the Hebrew children to walk through, he's the one who's got your job situation at work. And I see Brother John back there, and we had the privilege of teaching the Sunday school class together. And Brother John, as you went, I remember the difficult times that you had in your job assignment until Jesus made a way. He stepped out in faith. God got it taken care of. Folks, sometimes we're going to go work with people, and we're not necessarily going to have exactly the right words. Maybe we're not going to be as eloquent as we would like for us to be. Maybe it's not going to go exactly the way we had planned. But if we'll leave it in God's hands, go do what he told us to do. It may be a little messy. It may seem a little awkward at the moment we do it. But why don't we give Jesus a chance? I was looking in the scripture, and in the book of Acts, the 12th chapter, there's this amazing story of Peter. He was caught and he was imprisoned and he was taken away and he was put away. And the Bible tells us that the Christian community, they gathered together and they began to pray for Peter. You know this story. And what did God do? He sent an angel. He rattled the jail. You know, he walked out a free man. And when Peter came, Brother Ralph, and knocked at the door, a little lady came to the door, saw Peter, came back, told the guy, said, "Peter's at the door." And what did the crowd say? "Thou art mad. Thou art mad. You've lost your mind. It can't be Peter. He's in prison. See, we're over here having prayer for him to get him out, right? But he's not here. He's there. That's why we're praying for him." Hey, folks, sometimes we got to recognize that we're so small a part of what God has in mind for things. We're an important part. But we just got to get it done and leave the results to him. The chance to witness to somebody. I was so encouraged a couple of weeks ago, Brother Wayne. My fault. Somebody came to me and said, "Where are those C-52 cards?" Young lady who's starting, college. And she said, "Where are those C-52 cards? I'd like to have a whole bunch of those, to give out. I've got them on order. They're out there in the world someplace being shipped my direction. They'll show up here soon." But folks, if we'll just give somebody a card, if we'll give them a smile, if we'll tell them a little bit about the gospel message, maybe we don't believe all the time that God could get something done from that, but man, he sure can. And so when we think about ministry possibly being messy, we think about the fact that our doubt doesn't limit God, but it sure can make us think that somebody's going to call us mad and limit us from doing the things that Jesus has called us to do. The fourth thing I've got here is why is sometimes ministry messy? And maybe this one is the most self-evident, I guess, in my life, is sometimes we just don't listen to God. With the very best of intentions, we want to help somebody, Brother Gary, and we want to make a difference and what have you. But sometimes God's got this covered, and we need to make sure we understand, what is it you want me to do, Lord? Where's my focus? What do you want me to do? We ought to have confidence in everything that we do. I asked Cindy, and I already had this in my heart, but I asked Cindy when she came home today, I said, can you think of a time in our life where we did something with the very best of intentions, And it just didn't work out. And I was sitting at the table, and she said, oh, yeah. She said, I remember. And there was a situation. We've always had a heart for children. We just love children, and at Still Creek, there was a family. There was a lady, a grandmother, who took in her two precious grandchildren. And we'd gotten word, Brother Ralph, that these kids were, you know, the family didn't have much, and we'd gotten word that the situation was pretty difficult, that, you know, I'm not sure if they were sleeping on the floor or what have you, but they needed some mattresses. And, you know, we were in a position where we could help. And someone came to us and said, we need this, and we saw to it that there were some mattresses, got sent to them. And here's the story. We didn't listen. We did what we thought. We ministered to this family as best we could. And we were reminded that when we visited the family again, and they would come to the church, and, you know, but we visited the home about a month later, and Brother Gary, the mattresses didn't even make it inside. They were, you know, they were newer mattresses. They were leaning up against a tree in the front yard. And Cindy said, we believe it was snowing that day or something. Hey, folks, it wasn't wrong to do that in the name of Christ. But maybe if I'd been listening a little bit better, Gary, I would have heard what Jesus really wanted me to do there, to minister to them in some way. They needed mattresses. They didn't make it into the house. It's not about that. It's about the fact that, you know, ministry really has to have a direction and a focus. There's a reason why I don't keep the nursery. There's a reason why most of us, Brother Rick, we don't work with the little ones that tall, right? We leave that for somebody else. Each one of us has a specific calling. Brother Wayne, you and Brother Danny and Kyle and others, you got a calling to go to the ministry and work with those. I talked with Brother Mike Brown last week, and we were talking about a need that he has at the Northeast Correctional Institute. And Brother Gary, he was telling me about this, and he said, you know, there's an opening, and there's one Sunday a month. And I said, describe it. He said, well, you go into a big room, and he said, we'll have 40, 45 men. They'll come in, inmates, and he said, you get an hour with them. I said, where are the guards? He said, on the other side of a glass wall. He said, does that make you uncomfortable? I said, no, I promise I won't hurt any of them. It's okay. But listen, I'm better suited, truthfully, in my calling to go work with 45 inmates than I am the little ones. There's a place in your life where God's called you to, whether it's, you know, making treats for the family, or, you know, or ministering, or Brother Gary, you know, counting the money, writing the checks, or you know, Brother Jimmy, we're down there with staplers, or the youth that the three of us did together. You know, God's got something He's called us to, right? We've got a lane that He's called us to. Now, a lot of times He'll call us into areas that are uncomfortable. It's usually uncomfortable, again, because I think we have doubt or we have faith that God's going to use us to do something amazing. But if we'll follow Jesus, yeah, maybe sometimes we won't get exactly the results that we had in mind. But I'm telling you, we can't blame God. You can't blame the idea of ministry when the results are not what we expected. Christians are called to be salt and light in a world that has decidedly wanted shade and sugar. Salt and light in a world that prefers shade and sugar. But we ought to ask God, what would you have me to do? Here's my neighbor. How would you have me to work with them? Lord, here's this many hours of my life in my week, you know, that you've given to me. How can I give those back that I might make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ? We do the simple acts here that we do, you know, the working with the little ones, the Christmas play. I mean, you know, this church, you know, what's the biggest service we ever have in the years past? It's, you know, it's always packed, right, with the Christmas play. We do all these things as ministry. We recognize the need, and we do something in the name of Christ to present Christ. Isn't it a blessing to be part of something wonderful, something bigger than ourselves, something that doesn't depend upon our intellect or our finances? And Jesus brings us into these things. And what does He ask us to do? To listen to Him. To have that moment of prayer where He can talk to us. To walk forward in confidence. Folks, I'm telling you that ministry is a shared calling for Christians. It's not always simple. Sometimes it's not satisfying. And depending on the other party, how they react, sometimes our ministry is not sustained. But I want to go back to the two verses I read for you at the beginning. Paul had encouraged Timothy, this young man that he had seen saved. He knew his mother, his grandmother, this young man that he had put so much confidence in. And Paul related to him the challenges that he had had, even points in his ministry when it was messy, when people were trying to kill him, you know, when they were trying to throw him out, when they'd excommunicated him with, you know, him and all this stuff. And I want you to look at what Paul told Timothy. He goes through all this stuff, 1st, 2nd Timothy, comes to the 4th chapter. Look at these two verses, 17 and 18. Paul said to this young man, he said, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me." Amen. Yes, he did. And he strengthened me. And he's the only one that can strengthen him. And look at what it says. That by me, the preaching, look at these four words, might be fully known. Might be fully known. What a blessing it is to know that the Lord Jesus Christ can do something amazingly useful with our lives. Now, Paul was a special person. God used him in a very special way. But he still wants the gospel to be fully known. And I got to tell you something. Paul's not here anymore, but we are. He said Alexander the coppersmith did him much evil. Sorry to tell you, folks, but as we minister, as we put the fish on our car, as we give out the next meal packs that has the tract very visible in that, there's going to be people who reject it, people who don't want any part of it. My prayer, Brother Ralph, is that they will come to their senses and listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit before it's eternally too late. But it's our job to go, to minister, even when it's not easy. We're to get into these areas where Paul said the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. And he talks about how God delivered him out of all of these difficult circumstances that the Lord Jesus Christ might be lifted up. What about our lives, folks? I tell you, we begin to look at this, and so many times I think that people, they don't want to serve God because of the fact it's not going to be black and white, and you know, this happens and this happens and then that, you know, you can't always predict it. But some of the greatest things that's happened in the life and in the ministry of myself and Cindy have been those things that were so unexpected, that they were messy, but God was able to bring something amazing from those simple interactions. Now, folks, I want to say this just as I close. I do not believe in a work salvation in any way whatsoever. We are saved entirely through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Greatest example of that I could name tonight would be the dying thief upon the cross. As he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, he was never baptized. He never gave a penny that we know to the church. He didn't go out and do any good works, right? He didn't witness to anybody. He didn't go to Sunday school. He didn't become, you know, the officer in the church or what have you. And yet Jesus said, "Today, will you be with me in paradise?" I don't believe in a work salvation. But folks, I'm telling you that we are his army upon the earth. And the weapons that we yield, the Bible, the faith that we have, the things that we do, it's the way that God is still reaching people, just like he did with Paul, like he did with Peter, like he did with Timothy, one-on-one, to get out of our comfort zone and to go and present the gospel message. Whether that's a C-52 card, or which really is very simple, or whether that's inviting someone to church, or whether that's having someone beside of you in a waiting room where you know that you're going to be there together for that period of time and saying, "Hey, would you mind if I take just a second to tell you about the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my life?" We get that opportunity. But sometimes we forget that ministry can be messy. But Paul was right when he said it's about the preaching of the gospel, that the message of the Lord Jesus Christ might be fully known. Would you stand this evening?